The fourth attribute in Makarim al-Akhlaq is to help others, to fulfill the need of your fellow believer, to help the needy, to be of service to the poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Naml, which means the Surah of the Ant, we were amazed that Allah Ta'ala made a whole surah in Quran called the ant. And in that surah there is mention of an ant. And why is there mention of this ant? Because Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, was taking his army. And on the way there were some ants. And one ant, she could feel, you can say, the vibration in the ground, that there was a large procession coming. So she felt it, so she told her other ants, fellow ants, that Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam's army is coming, and therefore we will be run over, so better that we go down into our ant holes, ant homes. So what did this ant do? She tried to protect other ants. She tried to help them. She was well-wisher for her fellow ants. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this well-wishing of the ants so much that He made her story part of Quran, and then He named the entire surah of the Quran after her, An-Naml. So by to show us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so happy by this act of well-wishing. Now imagine if this is how Allah Ta'ala is so happy with an ant looking out for the other ants, then imagine if a human looks out for another humans, or a believer looks out for their fellow believers. So this is why it is said that the best of people are those who are giving the most benefit to people. The one who is best is the one who benefits most others. So to benefit others the most, this is actually part of our humanity, part of the nobility and virtue of humanity. Humanity is a part of our maqam al-akhlaq, part of the noble and virtuous attributes and character traits. Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, even before his nubuwa, he used to help the poor, help the needy. So once Sayyidatina Khadija radhiyallahu anha, she asked the Prophet ﷺ that, how do you feel after coming down from this mountain of Hira and getting the revelation? So Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ felt that, I feel that I'm going to die. I felt such pressure from receiving this revelation. So Khadija Qurbanullah said, Kalla, never can that be the case. Allah Ta'ala would never send you this revelation and then have you be crushed under its weight. No, but rather you are the one who has, through mercy, reconciles the ties between people and relatives. And you are the one who bears the worries of the burdens of the hearts of other people. And you are the one who, that person who has nothing, who is destitute, who is so poor, you are the one who provides and helps for them. And you are the one who is a generous host to the guest. And you always take the path of truth, and you always guide people on the path of truth. So these were certain characteristic traits that Ummu Mu'mineen Sayyidina Khadija has mentioned about the Prophet ﷺ, and this is just at the start of revelation. So it means these were attributes that he had before his prophethood was manifested externally. Now that means it's why, because Sayyidina Rasulullah knew he had a pure personality, and he knew what a human being should be like. So even before he received revelation, he was living according to the noble, virtuous characteristics of Makarim al-Akhlaq. Then Sayyidina Rasulullah, after getting Nubuwa, after getting prophethood, then in the hadith, in his teachings, he has mentioned so much about how we should be of benefit and help for others. First hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah said that, be merciful to those who are on earth, then that being who is in the heavens, means above, will be merciful towards you. So very simple, sweet, perfect sentence, that you should be merciful towards creation, then the Creator will be merciful towards you. So a human being should also try to be Rahim and Kareem, to be mercy giving and generous with others. And Sayyidina Rasulullah, تَخَلُّكُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, that you should adorn yourself with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that are appropriate for a human being to be adorned with. So if Allah ta'ala is Al-Kareem, we should also try to be generous. Allah ta'ala is Al-Rahim, we should also try to be merciful and compassionate with other people. So all of tasawwuf is just another name for khidmat al-khalq, a being of service of creation. Tasawwuf isn't just using a tasbih or doing ibadah on the musalla or viewing oneself as an abid or a worshipful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Rum Ratnai wrote, so the tawaf is not in your tasbih and in your musalla and in your khirka, which is your robe that some of the Sufis used to wear, like a jacket. He said, this is not the tawaf. The tawaf is not about external trappings. So the tawaf is neither about the tasbih, nor the prayer mat, nor the gown or robe or cloak that you wear. But the tasawwuf is nothing other than service to humanity, service to all creation. So when a prophet went, when Sayyidina Musa Islam left the place, he was left in a place of fear, that I'm leaving this unjust government of Fir'aun and I'm worried that they will come after me and try to arrest me and try to kill me. So he was also hungry and he was a traveler and he was a stranger in this land now. He had no home, no helper, no friend, no consoler, no companion. There was no one whom even a fellow traveling companion who he could share his worries with. So one place there was a well, and he went and he sat underneath the shade of a tree that was near the well, and he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. Umar, that the blessing that you have given me, I am fakir, I am needy of it. So then some people came who were coming to draw water from the well. And when they went to that place to draw the water from the well, there were two girls as well, and they had their goats with them, and they tried to feed their goats the water. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam saw that they need help because there's girls, they don't have the strength to do this task. So he thought to himself, I should help them. So look, what was his basic attribute? To help others. That whenever you see that there is an opportunity for you to help, an opportunity for you to benefit others, you should take the opportunity to be a benefit to others. So this is what attribute he had, because he was also pure personality, because he was a prophet. So he saw this opportunity to help someone, so he went up to them. And he said that, why are you trying to get this water out? And she said that, because, how come you have come? There are no men from your family. He said, we have no brothers and our father is old and elderly, so this task has now fallen on us, the daughters. So he took out the water and helped, and their father was a prophet, Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salam. So they went and they told their father. So their father said, go call that man. Then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went and he met, and then he got married to one daughter. So he got a wife, he got a prophet as a father-in-law. How did he get, and he got a home, how did he get all of this? Just because he made intention to be of benefit to someone else. So this, he's a golden act. And once it was winter, and the wife was pregnant, and the husband knew that my wife is pregnant and she's not feeling well, and it's winter. So Sayyidina Musa Islam told her that, oh, you know, I see some fire in the distance. So let me go to that fire and try to get some fire and bring it back so there will be some warmth and heat. So his intention was what? Again, to be of benefit to his wife. When he approached that fire, that's when Allah Ta'ala spoke to him and bestowed Nubuwwah on him. He received the first revelation. But what was the sabab or the cause that prompted him to go in that direction was to be of benefit and service to his wife. So it's not that he was sitting there doing a lot of zikr or ibadat. No, both of these two incidents weren't acts of worship. They were acts of being of service and benefit to a fellow human. So this means this is part of our iman, that this is the nature of a mu'min, that he tries to benefit others. And Sayyidina Rasulullah said, and it's a very important hadith, the Prophet said that that person, that believer, who helps another believer relieve some difficulty of some believer, helps them out of some problem, helps relieve them in some difficulty. This is like an anxiety, it's called qarb in Arabic. So when he helps to remove them from the anxiety and difficulty, then Allah Ta'ala will remove from him the anxiety and difficulty of the Day of Judgment. So this is directly proportional. So whosoever in this worldly life removes the worry of their fellow believer, Allah Ta'ala in reward for that will remove his worries on the Day of Judgment. So we should reflect on this very carefully. That number one, that he will have to, if he removes the worries of a fellow believer, his worries will be removed on the Day of Judgment. Then the next part is that whosoever is stuck in a difficult financial situation, difficulty, and if a person grants them ease out of that difficulty, then Allah Ta'ala will grant that person ease out of the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. Sometimes a person gets stuck in certain circumstances, certain conditions, certain difficulties, whether one can help him financially or give him moral support or give him advice that helps him get out of that difficult circumstance. Then the believer who does that, that helps another believer get out of that tight circumstance and condition that he's in, Allah Ta'ala will help that person out of the tight circumstances and conditions on the Day of Judgment. Then, third part of the hadith is that person who conceals, satr, who conceals and covers the faults, flaws, sins of a fellow believer. Allah Ta'ala will cover and conceal this person's faults in this world and in the Akhirah. So not just the Akhirah, but in the dunya also. And by Akhirah, obviously it means Day of Judgment. And fourth part of the hadith, then the Prophet says, that person who helps, as long as a believer is helping their fellow believer, Allah Ta'ala will keep helping them. That all the time you are helping another believer, Allah Ta'ala's special help will be on you throughout that whole time. So if you become the helper of another believer, Allah Ta'ala will become the helper of you. So the Sharia has made it so easy for us that you be a benefit to people, Allah Ta'ala will himself then help you. So then look at that person who has Allah Ta'ala as their helper. Will he ever have any problem in life then? So how to get Allah Ta'ala as your helper? To be helper of a fellow believer. So we should remove the sadness and worry, remove the difficulty, help them in the difficult circumstance, conceal the fault, and help them. To another day, Sayyidina Rasulullah Sassam said, if somebody buys something, and then goes home. And then when he shows it to his family, and the family decide, no, we don't really want this, so then he goes back to the seller, and there's a khiyar, so an option, okay, you have to return within 3 days, you have to return within 1 day, but some people say, no, that all sales are final. So the Sharia says this, that if a believer buys something from someone, but then he comes home and he feels that no, it wasn't a good deal or isn't something I need, then he should go back. And the Prophet said that if any seller accepts that back, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person for their sins. So look how beautiful the Sharia is. One cannot even imagine how much well-wishing is in our deen, and how much creating ease for others is in deen. Sayyidina Rasul, that the believer is a brother for his fellow believer, and he will never harm him, he will never give him over to others. And that person who tries to help his fellow believer in need, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill his need. And when he tries to remove the worry and difficulty from that person, that anxiety from that person, then Allah Ta'ala will remove the worry, anxiety and difficulty of him on the Day of Judgment. And whoever conceals the sins of their fellow believer, Allah Ta'ala will conceal their sins in this world and on the Day of Judgment. So there's a rule in the world called jaza min jinsi amal, that whatever you do, you will get the consequence, reward, according to the action, in the same nature in kind. You will be repaid in kind. You can put that in English. That for whatever you do, you will be repaid in kind. As you sow, so shall you reap. So whatever you do, you will face the according consequences accordingly. So now understand this principle through hadith. So the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed those persons who are merciful towards other believers, Allah Ta'ala will be merciful towards them. So we want that Allah Ta'ala should be merciful on someone, but we ourselves aren't merciful to others. We ourselves are a source of torment and difficulty for others. So how do we expect that Allah Ta'ala's mercy will come upon us? But so the Prophet said that whoever is merciful towards others, Allah Ta'ala will send his mercy towards them. Another hadith, the Prophet said that indeed Allah Ta'ala will test and try and punish those people who themselves are a source of punishment and harm for others. So if you are harming and punishing people, then Allah Ta'ala will afflict you with harm and punishment, with adab. So we realize then that in this world we should be preparing for the akhirah. We should have interpersonal relations such that Allah Ta'ala will treat us well. Because there will come a time that we will no longer have our job, we won't have our health, we will be a person of need. We will be needy and dependent on others. And at that time we will wish that, I wish there was somebody who was there to help me. I wish there was somebody who was there who was compassionate to me. But if we had not been helpful to others in our life, then how will we get somebody to help us at that stage in our life? But if we had supported someone in our life, Allah Ta'ala will send somebody to support us. If we had made somebody else's difficulties easy, Allah Ta'ala will send somebody to make our difficulties easy. Then the next hadith is that Sayyidina Sussam said that if any believer feeds another believer, even who is hungry in this world, so then Allah Ta'ala will, in the Day of Judgment, give that person the fruits of Jannah. On the Day of Judgment, they will be fed with the fruits of Jannah. Then, second part is that person who gives some thirsty person some water to drink, then Allah Ta'ala will give him al-rahiq al-makhtum, which you can say the blessed nectar, special elixir. Allah Ta'ala will give them that to drink on the Day of Judgment, to quench their thirst on the Day of Judgment. Then, next hadith is that any believer who clothes the person who is unclothed, then Allah Ta'ala will clothe him with the clothing of Jannah on the Day of Judgment. So what a wonderful concept our deen has given, that when we read these hadith, nobody can remain inconsiderate afterwards. To be inconsiderate to people, uncaring to people, insensitive to the needs of others. How can a believer be like that when Sayyidina Rasulullah has mentioned all these hadith? So when on the Day of Judgment we will get so many rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we were considerate to other people. So now we should listen that when will our need listen to how badly we will need this. Sayyidina Abdul bin Mas'ud narrates that on the Day of Judgment there will be all the people of all humanity, every single person will be raised naked. There is no exception. All of them will be raised naked. And all of them will be in a state of hunger. And all of them will be in a state of thirst. And all of them will be standing in the heat, broad sunlight, daylight, and think that it will be like a day where the sun is even close. And there will be so much sweat that will come out from a person. So hunger, thirst, heat, sweating. And then that person who had clothed someone in this world for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will clothe that person then on the Day of Judgment. That person who fed a believer for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fed them in their hunger, Allah Ta'ala will feed them with the fruits of Jannah and remove their hunger on the Day of Judgment. That person who gave somebody to drink and quench their thirst in this day in the world, then Allah Ta'ala will quench their thirst on the Day of Judgment. And that person in the world who forgave somebody for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person. So this is the preparation of Akhirah which we have to start making today. So this clothing that we clothe another person in, we're actually doing it for the sake of our Akhirah. If all the good deeds and character traits we have in this world will all come to our benefit in the Akhirah. So we shouldn't think that I'm doing any favor on this person. It's actually in my own interest. It's to my own benefit to benefit others. Because when I benefit others in this world, I will get benefit on the Day of Judgment and in the Akhirah. There's one hadith that Sayyidina Anas radhiyallahu anhu has narrated that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that there will be a person from the people of Jannah and they will come in front of the people of Jahannam. Means he will come down from Jannah or whatever window will be opened transparently. He will be able to see the people of Jahannam. So when he looks at them and they look at each other, when Allah removes the veil, as what was the veil between Jannah and Jahannam, so then what will happen is the people of Jahannam, one of them will call and he will say that, "Oh, so-and-so, don't you recognize me? Don't you know me?" And so the person of Jannah will say, "No, I don't know who you are. I swear by Allah Ta'ala, I don't know who you are." So then the person from Jannah will say, "I'm that very same person who walked past you on the day in the dunya, and I walked past your home in the world, and you wanted water and you were thirsty. I gave you a glass of water to drink. Do you remember now?" So then the person of Jannah will say, yes, now I remember you. Yes, you did give me some water to drink in the world. So then he will say that, please intercede on my behalf with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that water I gave you to drink. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person of Jannah will address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will do shifa, or will request Allah Ta'ala to remove that person from Jahannam. And Allah Ta'ala will listen to the intercession of that Jannati and will take him out of the fire of Jahannam and put him and admit him entry into Jannah. So what was it that one that got the person out of Jahannam? He gave one Jannati one glass of water. Now think that if by giving one glass of water a person can even get Jannah, so that person who gives, makes wells and does a lot of khidmat or feeds the poor or even feeds the guests or visitors or travelers, so then imagine how much they are storing themselves for the Akhirah. So these hadiths are an eye-opener for us that deen isn't just about standing on the musalla and praying. So we shouldn't think that deen is just ibadah, but actually it's ibadah and akhlaq. And in fact, by being a good member of humanity is better than doing nafil ibadah. Helping the poor, clothing the poor, serving humanity is better than so if you help others, that is a more value and benefit on the Day of Judgment. When he said, Ashurun says that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that on the Day of Judgment, people will be raised up and they will be barefoot and they will be bare, unclothed, and they will be bareheaded. Every person on the Day of Judgment will be barefoot, bare clothed, naked, and bareheaded. So then when she heard this from the Prophet, then she said, Ya Rasulullah, that men and women, they will be able to look at each other like that, that all people are naked. So they will be looking at each other. So the Prophet responded, no. He said, O Aisha, on the Day of Judgment, it will be such a day of fear, such a day of fear, they will not even be noticing one another. They won't even imagine to look in another direction. They will be so caught up in their own individual fear. Imam Ghazali said that on this then the fire of Jahannam will be presented and it will roar and erupt in flames and it will say that Allah Ta'ala, let me go and let my flames out and I want to catch the people who are destined for me. Like some anger of fire, it will be spurting in flames. And then when those flames spurt up, then huge, what you call shoals of flame, flares of fame will come. And the Imam Muzaffar writes that when those flames of Jahannam leap out, they will not be, even every Nabi will be scared that one of those flames will fall on me. Now imagine that if those pure, purest people, the prophets, will be that scared, then imagine me and you how terrified we will be on that day. So we should think about that day and how to save ourselves from the fears of that day. That is a tremendous day. We will be very needy in that day. We will be desperately needy on that day. So in this world, Allah Ta'ala has given us a lot of bounties and blessings. But it's not so that we just use our bounties and blessings for our own pleasure. We should use our bounties and pleasures for deen, to prepare for akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us trillions of brain cells. And we can make such good factories and we have good business and we're good managers and we do so much work. So then how does it make sense that we will go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be without any shade, we will be barefoot, we will be naked, we will be hungry, we will be thirsty, we will be standing in the heat of the tremendous sun. On that day we need blessings. More than we need the blessings of this world, we need to have the blessings on the Day of Judgment. How? That will be by following Deen in this world. Sayyidina Rasulullah said, That person who removes a difficulty from their fellow believer, then on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person the shade of his arsh, the shade of his throne on the Day of Judgment. And it comes in another hadith that there are 7 types of people who will get the shade of Allah Ta'ala's arsh, his throne, on the Day of Judgment. And the nature of that is that underneath the shade of Allah Ta'ala's arsh will be platforms of mushk, and they will just be comfortable over there. Whereas all the other people will be in a state of great difficulty because they're exposed to the heat. So every one of us would want that we should get the shade on that day. So who are those 7? Number 1 is a just ruler. A just ruler, just governor. 2 is that young person who spent their youth absorbed in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were lost in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the prime of their youth, they gave the prime of their youth to ibadah, to zikr, to dawah, to ilm, to deen. They were fully drenched in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were intoxicated in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their youth. 3, such a person whose heart was always attached to the masjid all the time. He always wants to pray in the masjid. When he goes home, he's still remembering the masjid, can't wait till he goes back to the masjid for the next prayer. Then 2 people who love one another for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, they meet one another for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and they part from one another out of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the easiest one. That 2 people who between the 2 of them, their basis of their love was only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not family, they're not kin, they're not relatives, it's not a business relationship, there's no worldly tie. It's only purely for the love and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So 2 fellow believers whose only relationship between them is for the sake of the love and pleasure of Allah ta'ala will accept and love this act and grant the person the shade of his throne. Then that young man, young person, who was invited by a beautiful person to do zina, but they didn't respond to that invitation and they said, no, I fear Allah. So this person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that fear of Allah ta'ala and keeping them away from sin, they will get the shade of Allah's arsh. 6 is that person who donates so much charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but donates so sincerely that he donates with his right hand and his left hand doesn't even know. So that's a metaphor. It means that he doesn't praise himself and he gives it secretly such that no one would know. So this person who gives charity secretly, this person will also get the shade of Allah Ta'ala's throne on the Day of Judgment. What's our situation? We want to give with the charity. Instead of doing charity like this, we do sin like this. We try to sin so secretly with one hand that the other hand doesn't know. Whereas actually we were supposed to give charity with one hand such that the other hand doesn't know. And this person will be the last person, is that person who in khalwa, in isolation, they used to sit in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then while they're remembering Allah ta'ala, they started getting tears. So the one who cried out of the love for Allah ta'ala, they will also get the shade of Allah ta'ala's arsh on the Day of Judgment. That today sometimes people cry because of illness, they cry because of loss, they cry because of difficulty, they cry for so many reasons. But this is a different type of crying, to cry out of yearning for Allah Ta'ala, to cry out of love for Allah Ta'ala. And there are very few who cry like this. So the hadith is that youth who cries out in solitude out of his love and yearning for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will also get the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, say shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Another hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ was traveling, and on that journey, there were some people who had not fasted intentionally, that were traveling and it's hot, and were allowed to not fast. Some of them made the intention that we can do khidmah of those who are choosing to fast, then we can do the heavy action, heavy duties on the course of the traveling, so that the ones who are fasting can have a more light journey. So the ones who weren't fasting, they pitched all the tents, put up the tent, unloaded the camels, put the baggage inside the tent. So then Sayyidina Rasulullah said that on this day, those who weren't fasting actually got more reward than the ones who were fasting. So the ones who were fasting, but the ones who didn't fast, but they did khidmat of the one who was fasting, so the Prophet said that they got more reward. So there was one person who was on journey, and all the time he was reciting Quran and making ibadah, and Sahaba thought that he's such an abid. So they told the Prophet this, that this person was traveling with us, and we saw that all the time they were engaged in ibadah and salah. And he didn't do anything else on the journey. So the Prophet asked him, then who is taking care of his needs? His cooking and cleaning and washing. He said, oh, he has two sons and they're taking care of everything. So the Prophet, the sons will get more reward than the father. So these hadith are teaching us what? That khidmat is getting us more reward than the ibadat. This is a big virtue and good deed, which is khidmat, the nafil ibadat. Once Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ went to do ghusl in a well, near a well, and Sayyidina Hudhayfa ibn Umar was with him. And then when they reached the well, so Sayyidina Hudhayfa had to come up with some screen, so he had a shawl and he took his shawl and he spread it, and then Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ behind the shawl, he bathed himself. That when the Prophet said that, okay, I'm done now, Huzaifa, it's your turn. So Huzaifa thought that, how am I going to take a bath? So then Sayyidina Rasulullah took the shawl and said, now you go. And Sayyidina Huzaifa said to the Prophet, you're going to hold the shawl for me. And the Prophet said that if you were of good service to me, then what is my hesitation in being of good service to you? So then Sayyidina Rasulullah stood there and told him and ordered him, you will take a bath on this other side of the shawl and I will stand there. And so the Prophet stood there and held the shawl while Sayyidina Huzaifa took a bathed. Another hadith that the Prophet was traveling, and they were two, he made two miswak. One was straight and very good, and one was a bit crooked. So when he made the two, the one that was straight, he gave it to his khadim who was traveling with him, and he kept the crooked one for himself. So the Sahaba said, the Yasusam, I want that you should have the one that is more nicely formed. So saying, Yasusam, that I want, my heart wants that you should have that one. So the Prophet ﷺ practically demonstrated what a believer is like, how much love he has for his fellow believers. Then the Prophet ﷺ, that person who goes to accompany his believer in some fellow believer in a task, has nothing to do whether they're successful or not. He just goes to accompany him. Then the Prophet ﷺ will give him Allah Ta'ala will give that person the reward of an itikaf. That's why Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, he practically trained the Sahaba Ikram. As such that whenever there was a need, they would openly spend on those who were needy. There was once a well that was far away, and to go and build, to go and get the water from that well, they would have to hire people, and people would charge a lot amount because the well was far away. So they told Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani that, look, we need a well. And the Jew, there was a Jew's well, and the Jew charged a lot of money. So Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani said that to the Jew, that would you bring to sell your well? And he says, no, that this well is a source of my income. He says, tell me, how much do you want? And the Jew said, look, why should I sell this well? This is my source of income. I'm not going to sell it. Now Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani, he was also intelligent. He said, okay, he played a business tactic. He said, look, I'm going to give you some advice. To take the money from me and sell me half of your well. Take the full payment, and half the well will be yours, half the well will be mine, but you take all the money. Now the Jew, like this prospect, I'll take the full payment and only sell you half the well, half the well will be yours and half the well will be mine. So Sayyidina Usman gave him full payment, and then now they were 50-50 sharing the well. And now they made a negotiation that, okay, what are you going to do with your half? So Sayyidina Usman said that one day you take water out and one day I will take water out. He says, yes, that's fair, 50-50. So when it was his day, so he would take water out and sell it. So Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani waited. He said, okay, it was my turn. I'm going to give people water for free. Now when one day people got water for free, so everybody's happy to wait one day. So everybody waited one day and they would get it for free. And then when it was his day, he wouldn't sell it. So after 1 or 2 months, the Jew waited and nobody would ever buy his water in May. He went to Sayyidina Usman and said, can you please buy the other half of the well from me? So Sayyidina Usman gave him the same payment and bought the other half, and then he went and he donated the well to the Prophet. So this was why Sayyidina Usman, why did he do this? He was preparing for Akhirah. He wanted to be a service of khidmat to people. And once Sayyidina Usman had got hundreds of camels full of goods with trade from Syria. And when they came to Madinah Munawwara, their goods that he happened to get, it was exactly what the people of Medina needed. So you can, as an example, you can imagine that there was a shortage of wheat in Medina, and imagine if he got 100 camels of wheat. So exactly what he had gotten was what was the need of the time. So all the people went to him and said that, oh, you have gotten the best trade goods, so sell it all to us, and then we will, as traders, sell it in the city. So Sayyidina Usman asked that, how much profit are you going to charge the people? He says, we're going to charge double. He says, we're going to buy it from 100 from you, and we're going to sell to the people in Medina for 200. So Sayyidina Usman said that, no, that's not, you should charge a higher rate. He said, okay, we'll buy it for 300. Sayyidina Usman said, no. One said 400. He kept refusing. He said, I have a customer who is going to give me a higher rate. So then once a person then offered 5 times the price. And still Sayyidina Usman said that, no, I have one buyer who is willing to give me more. So then the Jews, they were Jewish buyers, so Jews of Medina. So they asked that, who is giving you more than that? And he said, I have an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is going to give me at least 70 times the price. Said, why? Because that's my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has promised in Quran that whoever spends in my path, I will give them 70 times return. So I'm actually going to donate all of this, hundreds of camels of goods. Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani donated them all to the believers free of cost. He made a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who deal like that, then Allah ta'ala knows how to deal with them also. So why don't we see that, try to make a favorable deal with Allah Ta'ala and see how favorable Allah Ta'ala will grant you. Imam Muzayyat has written in Mukashafatul Qulub that Allah Ta'ala has created some of His servants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain servants of His for this very purpose, that they will be of service to other people. The whole reason He created them is that they're in by nature helping, and then Allah ta'ala takes a qasam, takes an oath, that those people who are of service to My creation and help them in time of need, then the day of judgment I won't punish them with the fire of Jahannam, but I will make them sit on pillars of Noor, and I will speak with them Myself directly. So people will be, other people will be standing on the day of judgment, terrified of how their hisab will go, and these people will be sitting on pillars of Noor and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then and others will be being accounted on the day of judgment, and I will be speaking to them. It comes in hadith that that person who goes to fulfill the need of his believer, every step that he takes, he will get 70 reward of 70 good deeds, and he will be forgiven 70 sins. And if he is successful in helping that person, and that person's deed is done, all of his previous sins will be forgiven, and he will be as if he was just a newborn baby. All of his memory of sin will be deleted. Now imagine that one believer went to just go help him in one need and fulfill his one need. Your entire lifetime of sins will be forgiven. Another hadith, the Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala said that I've given some blessings of Mine to servants. They shouldn't hesitate to share these blessings with My creatures, My creation. Otherwise, I will take My blessings back from them and give it to others who will unhesitatingly share those blessings with others. And our elders, so an ordinary human, let alone an ordinary human, they were very good with animals, because they knew that animals are also the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Jafar, he had a lot of gardens and groves, and once there was a person from Habsha who was a worker in his gardens. One day he went to go look at his gardens, and he saw that the worker is working, and he's working hard, and he has sweat, and then he rested for a bit in the afternoon, and he had two dry pieces of bread, so he put them in front of him, and he was going to eat them. Then a dog came by, and that person from Habash, he threw one of his two pieces of bread to the dog, because he could see the dog was hungry. So the dog ate it, and then he could tell the dog was still hungry, so he sent a second piece of bread. So he gave both of his pieces of bread, he fed it to the dog, and then he got up from his eating place. So Abdul bin Jafar called him and said, "You didn't eat your meal." And they said that in our area we don't have dogs, so it looks like this dog has traveled from some faraway place, and that's why he's very hungry. And the way he was walking and looking was as if he was couldn't bear the hunger anymore. So I thought that it's better that I first gave him one piece of bread, then I tore off another piece of bread, and I couldn't stand to see his hunger, so then I gave him the whole piece of bread. Then I broke off a piece of the second one, and still he wanted, I just gave him the whole thing. It's okay, I'll eat in my next meal time, but meanwhile at least I saved his hunger. So it means I rather as a human stayed hunger, so that this dog would no longer feel hunger. The Abdullah bin Jafar felt so much love for this worker of his, all of the gardens he gave it to that worker. And he said, "Now you are the owner of all of these gardens and groves." Orchards. So this person fed a dog, and then Allah Ta'ala rewarded him by making him the owner of the orchard. Then another hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, Nabi that there was once an abid, a worshipping servant of the Bani Israel. who for 60 years he was a rahib, he was a monk, and for 60 years all the time he was doing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was made a little room for himself where he would just do worship in seclusion. And he did it for 60 years. So one can imagine how much ibadat that is. And then a woman came and she looked at his hut and she just stood around that place. So he came out of the hut and he saw her and he was attention towards her and he did zina with her for 60 nights. Then after that what happened was that then he went to the masjid to go and do ibadat, but now he had so much shame that he couldn't eat for 3 days. He lost his appetite out of shame over his sin. After 3 days he got some bread. Now he wanted that I should eat the bread because he was so hungry, but then two beggars came. And in another narration it's mentioned one beggar. So either way, he gave his bread to the beggar and then he got a heart attack and then he died. And Allah Ta'ala sent the angel of death, and the angel of death then took his ruh, his soul. Then the angel placed in one side of the scale 60 years of ibadah. And then the... It was 6 nights. Six nights of zina on the other side of the scale. And then what happened was that the zina side, it became even more heavy than the 60 years of worship. 60 years of ibadah could not compensate for his 6 nights of zina. So then he got worried and thought that I'm going to go to Jahannam. Then what happened, that those pieces of bread were brought that he gave to the beggar, and they were also put on the side of the scale of the good deeds, and then the side of the good deeds became heavier than the 6 nights of zina. So 60 years of ibadah could not offset the sin of zina, but feeding a beggar and the hungry person food was able to offset the sin. There's one more beautiful hadith that you should listen, that Sayyidina Rasulullah said, that person who is able to fulfill the need of another person, that person who is able to fulfill the need of another person, on the Day of Judgment, I, Prophet ﷺ, will be standing there at his mizan, at his scales. And when it is time for that person's hisab to take place, when their deeds will be weighed and measured, then I will be standing there. If his good deeds are heavy, then well and good. And if they're not, then I will do shafa, then O Allah Ta'ala, I will ask Allah Ta'ala to intercede and send him to Jannah. So what does it mean that fulfilling the needs of others will get a person's shafaat of Sayyidina Rasulullah? This will be that day of judgment, that the people will say that, oh, if only there had been for us some person to intercede on our behalf. To Sayyidina Rasulullah said that on that day, on this hadith, that hadith, that I will be the person to shafa on that day for the person who helped the needs of the others. If he gets through on the basis of his own deeds, well and good, and if he doesn't, then I will intercede with Allah Ta'ala to admit him into Jannah. Our akabir and elders, They used to view being service to other people a major aspect of their life. Just like spending money and spending zakat is mandatory on a person, they thought that spending their body in the service of others, this is the zakat of their body. So they used to pay the zakat of their body. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he used to go for Hajj, and he would ask people that make somebody Amir. They said that who could be a better Amir of the group of Hajj than you? So then he would become the Amir. Then he would tell them that, okay, all of the money that all of you have brought for the expenses of the journey, let's pool it all together. So he would take the money from them and he would put it in a sack, a bag. And the whole trip, Abdul bin Mubarak would take care of all of the expenses and needs with his own money. And then when they were done with Hajj and about to go home, then he would return each and every one of them the money they'd given them in the beginning. So he was the Amir, he was the leader of the Hajj group, but he was also well off and he did khidmat of that group. Some of our elders, they used to be exactly like this. So much so that some people who, friends who were like brothers to each other, even we have that example that one brother died, one friend died, and the other friend would for 40 years support the wife of his friend who was widowed. He would always pay the expenses for his friend's wife. Why? Because her husband was my friend. This is real humanity. So you will not find such examples in the world of the unbelievers. Look for them, search for them, and see if you can find it. Only in the deen of Islam you will find this compassion and loyalty and love. You won't find it anywhere else. And you will find everyone else is empty. But Islam is full of this compassion and love. And the Sharia makes a person a human in the real sense, in the true sense, and they're sensitive, considerate, caring, and they're always fulfilling the needs. And Sayyidina Rasulullah himself used to fulfill the needs of others. It comes in a hadith that once a young woman came to the Prophet, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, my mother is old and she couldn't come to you, she's remembering you." The Prophet said, "Okay, you take me to her, I'll go there myself to listen to your mother. Whatever path you take me to, I'll go." Then another incident of an old woman, many of you would likely have heard it, but we want to remind ourselves of this incident tonight so that we get barakah. So when Sayyidina Rasulullah began to invite people towards deen, so there was an incident that there was an old woman and she was going somewhere with all of her luggage. So Sayyidina Rasulullah saw that she's an old woman, so he helped her and took the luggage. And somebody has even put this whole hadith into poetry, that there was a weak old woman who lived in Makkah Mukarramah and she used to hear things about the Prophet, but she remained quiet. And she heard about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She heard that he is from the family of Hashim, and he says that there's only one God for all of time. And then she heard that he disbelieved in her God, which was Lat and Uzzat. She heard that those who were with him are his servants, who are his sahaba, and that anybody who hears him is affected by his words and becomes Muslim. So what did she do? She went and she went to go sit near the Kaaba. And she put her head near the idol of Hubal. And she said that, "Oh idol, I bow to you and I believe in you that are God. And I feel very sad that I'm bringing to you this difficulty. But there is some person called Muhammad from the Banu Hashim who is saying that you aren't God, that all For all of time there has only ever been one God. So, O Hubal, I want you to wipe him away from the face of existence. So she made the dua and she got up from her sajda. She was bound to the idol. And she went home and she thought, okay, now my desire will be fulfilled. And she thought that now Hubal will act, because she thought Hubal was a god, that he will strike with lightning Sayyidina Rasulullah and his companions. But after a few days she saw that nothing happened. Then in her heart she kept making dua to her false god Hubal. Then finally she decided, okay, I'll just leave then. I will move to a place where this Muhammad Mustafa isn't there. So she packed up all of her home and her belongings and she set out as a refugee. And she thought that I will migrate from this place. But how little did she know that Allah Ta'ala has sent the Prophet ﷺ as the true Prophet and had the true Nur. So Sayyidina Rasulullah was also on his way. So she was sitting there at her home waiting that maybe there will be some laborer who will come and help her. She can hire him and she can help carry her baggage. But then she saw some beautiful young man and she said, oh young man, what are you doing here? And he said that, oh old mother, I am the worker that you've been waiting for. Tell me what you need me to do. So she put all her luggage on the head of that young man. And she said, okay, you laborer, you take my luggage on your head, and don't worry, I will give you good wages for your labor. So the Prophet ﷺ lifted up her stuff and put it on his head, and he started, because this was his old habit to help the old and needy. So then he took her out to accompany her to her destination. And she told him that, oh young man, that I'm finally happy that now I've left this place where Muhammad and his companions are. So then when she reached the destination and he put the luggage down, she tried to pay him and he said, oh my old mother, I don't need any money. This is my happiness to be of service to you. And then he was about to go back and asked permission that may I leave now. And then the old woman said to that young man that, no, just sit for a little bit before you go and tell me, I want to tell you one thing before you go. And listen to me, that in Makkah there's going to be a big war and battle now. And that's why I left Makkah Mukarramah, and you are a nice young man, so I want you to know that in the family of Hashim, there is some young man who is from the descendant of Abdul Muttalib, and he is telling everyone. He is a magician and he will ensnare you. So you should stay away from him and make sure you don't fall under his sway. And whoever listens to him starts believing him and in his God, and they leave our ancestral gods. So you must always be sure to stay away from him. This is my advice I wanted to give you, O wonderful young man. So now little did she know that the person she was addressing was the same one who had brought the Nur into this world. So then she said that, tell me who you are, young man, before you go. So then and what is it that you do? So the young man then said to her that, what name should I tell you of mine? And what should I tell you what I do and what my future is? That I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have been sent with his Nur and his message into this world, and I am that same Muhammad that you have been talking about all this time. But I am innocent and pure of everything. And the only enemy I have is time, that whether I can complete my mission in that time. So that old woman, then she heard this, and tears started coming from her eyes. And then the Prophet's heart also melted. So old woman, she said that, "Oh young man, that you are so true, that you all this time I was saying these things, and you still were a service to me." So then she came Iman Kalima on her tongue. So what does it mean that Sayyidina Rasulullah just picked up an old woman's luggage and to help her, and because of helping her she got hidayah, she got iman. So this was the practice of our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So for us, have we ever done anything like this? Have we ever even wished we could do anything like this? Have we ever planned to do anything like this? That this is the day off, I will go to at least help my relative, I will go help some friend of mine, close friend, I will go help some believer, fellow believer. It's not even anywhere in our schedule, illa mashallah, except for few who are blessed by Allah Ta'ala. So what we realize is this khidmat being of service to the believers and creation of Allah Ta'ala, we have been very neglectful of this aspect of our deen, and we will miss out on the blessings of the Day of Judgment that have been promised in all those hadith. So remember again that people will be naked, barefoot, bareheaded, hungry, thirsty, standing in the sun. At that time we will need the shade, we will need food, we will need clothing, we will need all of those things. So how fortunate will those people be that they spend their life fulfilling the needs and being benefit to others, that they will get all of those blessings on the Day of Judgment. How fortunate will they be that they will be those people mentioned in the hadith, that where others will be terrified, they will be sitting on pillars of Noor and Allah Ta'ala will be talking to them. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those fortunate ones.